All right, welcome back to Drive on KFH Radio. Bob Lutz, Jeff Lutz, and now joined by Jack Oliver. We're going to talk with Nick Offerman, who's coming to town to do two shows on Saturday, September 27th at the Orpheum Theater. Nick, we could not hold you to one show. We actually had to sell two shows for you.
Well, thank you for having me, Bob and Jack. And, you know, my mother always says there's no accounting for taste.
Well, we're really looking forward. I don't believe you've ever performed in Wichita, Kansas. Am I right about that?
I believe you're correct. I've played Kansas City and the colleges, but I think this is my Wichita debut.
Well, Nick, one of the things that I was actually excited to see, because the way society is right now, you say, come on down and hear the good news that'll make you go jingle jangle. And people need some good news and a good laugh.
Absolutely. You know, taking a step back from the bipartisan fray, the fist shaking that everybody seems to be doing, I just took one step back from that and I said, hey, hang on a second, you guys. This is all us. We're all the group of people that has chosen what is happening to us. That's the gag of our country, and we seems like we've screwed it up pretty good, but it's on us. You know, there's not some evil royal family or overlord. It's just us Americans, and so that's the source of my comedy, is poking fun at how dumb all of us are, and then perhaps suggesting a few ways that we might see our way clear of this rancor.
Nick Offerman, our guest, he'll hit Wichita on September 27th for two shows at the Orpheum, one at 7, one at 9:45. You are such an identifiable guy, and I want to talk to you about Parks and Recreation, surprise, surprise, one of my all-time favorite TV shows, and a cast that, when you look at it now, you just look at it and you go, my God, how'd they get all these people together to do this show? It's a who's who. Tell us about how fun that show was, and going to the studio every day to put out these episodes. How much fun did you have?
Well, it was the kind of job that you often felt guilty, like you're getting away with something. You know, let's keep our heads down so nobody catches on to the fact that we would pay good money to come work at this job. There's an incredible casting director named Allison Jones, who I've known really as long for the 20 years I've been in Los Angeles, and she cast The American Office, she cast Parks and Rec, The Good Place, Brooklyn Nine-Nine, Judd Apatow movies. Like, most of the comedy that you've enjoyed, she's probably had a hand in picking the people. And Parks and Recreation was just a moment where, between her and the creators, Mike Schur and Greg Daniels, they put together this collection, this sort of ragtag Bad News Bears squad of stand-up comedians, theater actors, sketch and improv comedians. And, you know, most of us were unknown. You know, we were just getting started in one way or another, with the exception of Amy Poehler. And so, you know, we were kind of as tickled as anybody to all come together as a team and say, holy cow, we are a pretty funny team. Let's keep this going.
Well, Nick, you said that supporting parts and things that you do, like Parks and Recreation, are the type of roles that you really enjoy, and you have your inspiration based off Reverend Jim, who was in Taxi, of course, Christopher Lloyd. Did you watch a lot of that, or just kind of get into that role and that just fits you so well that you enjoy performing that?
Well, Christopher Lloyd, as the Reverend Jim on Taxi, was certainly deeply inspirational, and that was the sort of greatest example of, over the years, picking out great character actors that would have just a couple scenes. Growing up in the 70s and 80s, you know, I didn't have a lot of deep cultural education, So I, you know, I'm watching like the Dukes of Hazzard and enjoying it as a kid with a go-kart called the General Lee. But on that show, you know, Boss Hogg and Roscoe P. Coltrane and Cooter, you know, a few supporting roles, I would really dig into what they were doing. I guess I knew from the get-go that I was never going to be cast as Bo and Luke Duke. And so it must have been an early, like, I grew up in a farm family, so it must have been a certain practicality, a pragmatism that said, if you're going to get your bread buttered, it's going to be turning your hat backwards and fixing the car for the good-looking guys.
Nick Offerman, our guest, he will be in Wichita Saturday, September 27th, for two shows at the Orpheum Theater. As much as we loved you in Parks and Rec, you showed up on a season of Fargo in a completely different role. And I would imagine that that's one of the appeals of acting to you, is that you get to spread your wings and do different things.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, when you're working as an actor versus the stand-up comedy, which is what I'm bringing to town, the joy of the stand-up is that I get to deliver myself. I get to deliver my point of view to an audience, just undiluted, unvarnished. Good evening. Here's some stuff I've been thinking about, and I've set it to music. I hope you enjoy it. But as an actor, you're hopefully portraying writing that is inspirational and somehow either terribly entertaining, either it's really funny or it makes you think or it's really moving. And so for me, that is, you know, it's like, I don't know, it's like if you're a good defensive back in football, there's not a lot you can do with that by yourself, you know? You can't run around your neighborhood and just, like, tackle people or guard them against the pass. But if you get on the right team, then your specific talents can allow the team to shine by all working together. And so doing that as an actor, where I say, well, there are certain things that I'm pretty decent at, and they say, okay, look, we have this drunk lawyer who's really good at making breakfast on Fargo, and that I get handed that writing, and I say, "Holy cow! I will play the entire season at this defensive back, and I hope that I put some numbers up on the board for you guys." So it's a great, that is the most exciting thing, when you get handed a different role, and you say, "Oh, it's going to be so gratifying to show the audience another color. You know, they thought I was only purple, but wait till they see me do green and orange."
Well, it's interesting that you talk about doing those different things, Nick, because you worked as a fight choreographer. Now, how did you do that and get into that role to teach people to fight, or did you just get in a lot of fights when you were a kid?
No, I was not much of a pugilist as a kid, but I was very athletic. And when I went to theater school at the University of Illinois, they had a really nice theater conservatory, and they only took 16 students a year. Somehow I got in, and this is not false modesty. I was terrible at acting. I had not yet figured out my own approach to naturalism. I was just trying way too hard. And I think in hindsight, every year they must take a couple of husky men or women, because you've got the good-looking people and the talented people, and then, you know, you're doing these Shakespeare dramas and these, like, period pageantry pieces on stage. Well, you got to have a couple people to carry the good-looking people on and off stage, you know. They ride a palanquin or some sort of, like, sedan chair. So I was, you know, if they're doing a Cleopatra show, I'm one of the meatheads that they cast to carry her on and off stage. So while I'm at this theater school, not getting cast because I was terrible, they had this great stage combat department, and I said, "Well, that's something I can tear that up. I'm really good at sports." And so while I was waiting to learn how to act, I was able to spend a lot of time learning all manner of sword fighting and hand-to-hand combat, And you know, that was at the same time, I also started building scenery because I had tool skills. I had grown up building farm buildings and framing houses. And so I was able to make a living earning money as a carpenter and as a fight choreographer while I waited for my theater chops to catch up.
Nick Offerman with us. You are a tremendous comedian, actor, author, craftsman. You talked about woodworking and you build boats. So tell us something you're not, Nick. Tell us something you suck at like the rest of us.
Well, I'm terrible at drawing.
There you go. Thank you.
It comes up all the time because in the wood shop, many of my fellow woodworkers are very talented, and my wife Megan Mullally is incredibly talented with a pencil and with a paintbrush. This is a funny thing to say since I'm promoting a show in your town in which I sing 7 songs that I've composed, but I'm not very good at singing. And maybe that's because I live with a Broadway star. Like, my wife is an incredible singer. She has a band called Nancy and Beth, and she's, you know, she's as good as anybody. She's exquisite. And I'm not terrible. I have a workmanlike voice, and it's perfectly serviceable when it comes to being a joke delivery system. So have no fear. I will sing you my songs, and they will make you laugh. You won't say, "Hey, would you sing something else? That sounded really terrific."
Okay. Were you an athlete, Nick? Or do you golf still? Are you good at golf?
Golf has never. You know, I've always subscribed to the Mark Twain quote, which he says of golf that it's a perfectly good walk ruined. I played baseball and basketball, and football was my best sport. But I was very much a Midwestern kid, so I played those 3 sports. And then nowadays I prefer hiking and fishing. They're both a little easier on the knees than tackling people.
Well, Nick, you talked about using your voice in different ways. What about doing the animation work where you're doing the voice of some of these new series that are out? Do you enjoy that as much as, say, acting in a movie or doing your parts on TV, or would you rather do a lot of animation voice work?
Well, it's really fun. It's really fun to do. I honestly don't enjoy it quite as much as getting to use all of my instruments. So I like, you know, ideally to be photographed while I talk, because then I can bring sort of all of my powers to bear, as it were. Animation is really fun to do, and it's what they call nice work if you can get it, because it's cushy. You know, you just drive over to a studio and you don't have to, you know, if you're shooting an action scene, you don't have to do any stunts. You don't have to run down the street 20 times or 200 times. You get to just scream into a microphone while somebody draws you running. And so that's a lot of fun to be involved in the incredible creativity of animation. But the contribution feels less in a way. Maybe it's because I started in live theater, and so that's my favorite thing is having a live audience and trying to move them to laughter or tears or whatever it is, and they tell you immediately if you've succeeded or not. That represents an exchange of medicine that is my favorite thing about what I do. When I pull some stunt on stage and the audience busts out laughing, that feels better than any paycheck I've ever been handed.
Nick Offerman, our guest. Before we let you go, I have one question. Parks and Rec and The Office aired on the same night. They were 2 of my favorite all-time comedies. Love them both. Go back and watch them all the time on Netflix and wherever I can find them. Was there a competition between the 2 casts, even though the creators were the same? Did you guys try to do better than those people on The Office?
You know, that's a great question, and not really. I mean, I think There's a couple factors involved. One is our show was different enough that, you know, it didn't really occur to us. It was all we could do. The TV business is pretty hectic. You know, you're shooting one episode per 5 days, and in the middle of shooting that episode, you're handed next week's script. So it's a churning, ongoing machine. So there's not a lot of room for reflection of, like, comparing yourself to anybody. And the other factor is that we started sort of at the end of The Office. So we were all huge fans of The Office. And so I think more than a competition, it was like our older sibling had done well at the Olympics, and now we were the up-and-comers, and we hoped that we could live up to, you know, to their early promise. I can't believe I used to watch, my wife and I would watch The Office, and I would specifically say I had known Rainn Wilson, who played Dwight Schrute, for many years, and I was so thrilled that at the success that he had with Dwight Schrute, and I said to my wife, you know, if I'm ever going to get a big break, it's going to be on a show like this, and it's going to be with a part like Dwight Schrute. And it's pretty crazy that that's exactly what happened. So, you know, I just look up to them. Frankly, I know I've seen people say, like, which is better, and I say, who cares? We're both very lucky in this day and age that we got two inspirational, good-hearted comedies across to the public, because it's so difficult to get a show on the air. So yeah. I'm just grateful that we are two for two in that department.
And you're Ron Swanson, certainly one of the most memorable characters, in my opinion, in the history of television. So congratulations on that. Congratulations for doing everything you've done in the world of entertainment. And we're going to send a lot of people out to see your All Rise tour Saturday, the 27th of September at the Orpheum Theater, shows at 7 and 9:45. Nick, it's been a real pleasure. Thanks for spending some time with us.
The pleasure is all mine, and it's been a treat to have my inaugural appearance on KFH, The Drive.
Please tell Megan about it. She'll want to be on too, I'm sure.
I will. I always love promoting her. And I mentioned her band, nancyandbeth.com, will yield some, and it'll make your hat fly off with what an incredible singer she is. But check out her videos as well. She's something else.
All right. Thank you so much, Nick.
Thank you, guys. Have a great day.